Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. Turn from your sins now and be baptized. The mighty one has come to Israel. Soon he will gather his harvest and burn the chaff.
This John the Baptist hasn't lost his fire, has he?
You say you will take away the sin of the world, John. And I've heard you say that King Herod has sinned because he has married again. You should not mix religion and politics. Can you not speak more kindly of King Herod, your king?
Careful, Master. He is a spy from Herod, setting a trap for you. See, there are soldiers on the edge of the crowd.
I must speak the truth. The axe will be laid to the root of sin. King Herod must repent of his sin. He has taken for his wife one who was married to his brother. This is a great sin in the eyes of God.
That's the truth. Tell Herod to repent. That tyrant, he's an evil man.
You have condemned yourself, Baptists. Soldier, arrest this rebel. Speaks treason.
Leave him alone. He's a prophet.
He always speaks the truth.
Let him go. Let him go. Let him go.
Quick, men, shackle him and get him on a horse. Let's get out of here. Quick.
You can't do this.
Hi, boys and girls.
Hello, everyone. We're so glad we can be with you again. Sounds like we're going to have another exciting story from the time of Jesus, Uncle Dan. We've had an earlier story about John the Baptist, haven't we?
That's right, Aunt Sue. When Jesus was about to begin his ministry, he went to John the Baptist at the River Jordan to be baptized. That's when the two met.
And if I remember correctly, that's when John heard the voice of God say to Jesus, "This is my beloved son. I'm very pleased with him."
Yes. And after that, John continued baptizing and calling people to turn back to God. Our story today begins almost 2 years after that first meeting between John and Jesus.
What's the title of your story, Uncle Dan?
I'm going to call it
Prisoner in a Desert Dungeon.
After his arrest by King Herod's soldiers, John the Baptist was taken south to the Dead Sea region. There, near the eastern coast, was the forbidding fortress of Machaerus. John was led deep underground and thrown into a tiny dungeon room with hardly enough light to cast a shadow.
There. I'll just fasten these to your leg. I don't know why. There isn't any way out of here, but orders are orders.
Isn't there a window to let some air in?
Window? Herod wouldn't want you flying out, you know.
Can my friends visit me?
Perhaps. We'll see what King Herod says. Or rather, what his wife, if you can call her that, says.
She had me arrested and thrown in here?
I said nothing of the sort. So, you're a holy man, huh? One of them Jewish prophets, I hear. Well, how your God is going to get you out of here, I wouldn't know. Most prisoners here escape one of two ways. Die in chains or go upstairs to the executioner's block. Those are the lucky ones.
I'm in God's hands.
Yeah, well, I hear you might get out alive if you decide to tell the people that it's all right for Herod to be married to Herodias.
I cannot call sin by any other name.
No. No, I guess you can't. Well, someone will be down soon with water and bread, if you want to call it that.
Oh, God, my protector, my comfort. I already miss the open desert, the dry, fresh air, and the light. The light that was so warm and bright. How will I stand it here? Help me, oh my God.
As the days wore on, John the Baptist found comfort in God. He consoled himself with the fact that he had done his work well, introducing the Messiah to Israel. And he believed that soon the Messiah would overthrow the Romans and free captives like himself. But as week after week passed, bringing no change, despondency and doubt crept over him. The gloom and inaction of his prison life weighed heavily on him. Fortunately, he was allowed occasional visitors.
Hey,
Hey, Baptist! Your friends have come again. They can stay for half an hour.
Manny and Samuel, you don't know how much it means to me to see you again.
Peace be unto you, John. We brought you some fresh fruit from Galilee and some fresh barley loaves.
But first, the news. What of Jesus? Have you seen him?
There are many stories about him. He travels throughout Galilee, preaching and healing.
What about Andrew, Simon, Philip?
Your former disciples? They are well.
They are faithful to Jesus?
Yes.
Good, good. You must follow him too.
But you are our master. We follow you.
I have finished my work, Manion.
But this Jesus, he eats in the houses of tax collectors and sinners. He doesn't teach his disciples to fast twice a week, like you did. I don't know.
He is the Messiah.
But Jesus seems to be taking an awfully long time gathering the people together to overthrow Rome. I don't know.
He spends more time eating and drinking with common people, outcasts and the like.
And if Jesus is Israel's deliverer, and you are his forerunner, why are you suffering in this dungeon? Why doesn't he free you? I'm afraid I don't understand.
One must be patient with God's ways.
But our deliverer is to be the Lion of the tribe of Judah, another Elijah, revealing himself with fire. He will cast down the oppressor and release the captives, like you.
Perhaps, John, this Jesus is a great healer and teacher. And perhaps he is the greatest rabbi Israel has ever known. But perhaps he is not our deliverer.
I saw the dove rest upon him. I heard the voice say, "This is my beloved son." And I knew in my heart and mind, oh, friends, Jesus is the deliverer sent from God. We must believe this, and we must be patient.
But if he isn't, then your life, this dungeon, it is all for nothing.
Samuel, Manion, I ask you to do a favor for me. It is very important, and I pray Jesus will understand. Go find Jesus and ask him if he is the one who should come. Or are we to look for someone else? And bring me word back quickly.
We'll run all the way.
We'll be back in a few days.
Thus it was that John's disciples arrived in Galilee. It was not hard to find Jesus, for word of his miracles and teachings was on everyone's lips. Crowds headed to where he was. The lame hobbled to his location. The blind were led to him.
Samuel, there he is.
Please, let us through. Excuse us, please. Excuse me.
What are you doing?
Master, we've just come from the Machaerus dungeon where John the Baptist is imprisoned. He has sent us to you with a question.
My heart grieves for John. There is no nobler man. What is his question?
He asks, are you really the one we've been waiting for? Or are we to look for someone else?
I will have an answer for you later. Now come. Stay with me today and watch.
But we must hurry back to John.
We have time.
All that day, Jesus healed the sick and afflicted. The blind saw again. The ill found new health and strength. The deaf heard. A word, a touch of the Master's hand, and lives were transformed. Samuel and Manion saw all this and were amazed.
Friends, go back to John and tell him all you have seen and heard here today. Tell him how the blind can see, how the lame now walk without a limp, how lepers are completely healed and the deaf hear.
We'll tell him everything.
And tell him, happy is the one who does not lose his faith in me.
We'll tell him.
We'll tell him everything. Let's go, Samuel.
Then Jesus turned to the crowd. He looked intently at the religious leaders who had come to spy on him and report back to the leading council in Jerusalem. Then he spoke to the crowd.
Who is this man you went out into the Judean wilderness to see?
John the Baptist.
Did you find him weak as grass, moved by every breath of wind? Did you find him dressed in expensive clothes?
No.
Did you find a prophet?
Yes.
And more than a prophet. Truly, of all men ever born, none shines more brightly than John the Baptist.
Samuel and Menahem rushed back to the Machaerus fortress and told John the Baptist all that Jesus had said and done. To John, that was all he needed.
The scripture has been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, Jesus is the one.
But he will not lead an army against Rome?
No, he will do more than that. He will establish his kingdom of peace and righteousness that will last forever. He will overthrow the ruler of this world through mercy and self-sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. Samuel, Manion, follow him. Follow Jesus. Go to him. He is our deliverer.
But we can't leave you. You are our master.
I was sent to point others to him. My work is done. It was for me to become less and less. Jesus must become greater and greater. Go to him. Listen, the guard comes for me. King Herod wants to see me, and I'm told he is in a bad mood.
Hey, Baptist. Are you ready to see King Herod?
I am ready.
Here, let me unlock your shackles. Yeah, there. You'll have a chance to clean up first and eat a decent meal. The king said you could have anything you wish. Roasts, choice wines, even flamingo tongues. Not bad for a prisoner, eh?
My friends here brought me food.
The food of peasants. Now the king's table, that's something.
I'd trade it all for one glimpse of the desert. A breath of the desert air, the sand under my feet.
Come along.
Oh, John the Baptizer, how kind of you to come.
Did I have a choice?
Not really.
You wish to speak to me?
Well, I've heard much about you. You have a way with people. I like a lot of the things you are teaching. You tell the people not to cheat, to pay their taxes. You ask soldiers to be satisfied with their wages. Many good things.
And for which of these good things have you arrested me and thrown me into a dungeon?
Oh, now, let's not get angry. You've stirred up the people against me, John. My marriage to Herodias is none of your business. You should keep quiet about it.
Your marriage to your half-brother's wife is illegal according to Jewish law, and sinful according to God's law.
And you turn all Israel against me for such a little thing? No, Baptist, I can't have that.
And I cannot condone your sin.
Then I have no choice but to send you back to the dungeon.
For how long?
Until you choose to be silent about my affair with Herodias. I can't afford to have you turn the people against me.
You've turned the people against yourself by this wicked deed, King Herod. Whether I'm silenced or not, you cannot escape the judgment of God.
Guard! Take him back to the dungeon. I've had enough.
Yes, sir. Shall I put him on bread and water, sir?
No. Treat him well. He's a just man, but a very foolish, stubborn man. Take him away.
Come along, Baptist.
A very foolish man, yet a just man. I'd let him go, but Herodias would never stop tormenting me. That woman is a curse, yet I can't let her go. If only the Baptist would keep quiet. Foolish, foolish, stubborn, stubborn.
Quit pacing the floor, Herod. Tell me what you have decided to do with the Baptist.
I have talked to John. Herodias, you don't understand a man like that.
Will he keep silent?
No, he will not.
So, he'll keep walking through Israel, shouting, King Herod and Herodias are wicked, wicked, wicked. Is that what you want? You'll have a rebellion on your hands before you know it.
I cannot kill him. He is a prophet from God.
A prophet from God? You are too superstitious.
If I execute John, the people will rise up in rebellion. They think he is a prophet.
I want him dead. Dead. I hate him more than anyone in the entire empire.
I'll keep him in the dungeon. Perhaps someday...
Perhaps someday you'll have your father's courage. Hmm? And give him the axe.
Herodias knew that by using a direct approach, she could never get Herod's consent to the death of John. But she would not forget about John the Baptist, and she constantly looked for an opportunity to have him executed. Then one day, King Herod threw a big party. The occasion was his birthday, and entertainment was planned for the officers of state and nobles of the court. They all came, knowing there would be much food and wine and music.
Oh, this is some party, huh? The best food in the land. Did you taste the lizard?
I'd stick to the flamingo tongues, thanks. Never could stomach fancy stuff like lizard. Besides, gotta save room for more wine. Speaking of which, more wine here. More wine.
Servants, bring the best wine. More wine. The best for my friends. More wine, more meat, more everything.
Oh, Herod, you do throw some party. But where is the entertainment? What'll we have tonight? Fire dances? I hope not.
You just wait, Brutus. Just wait. We have something that will knock your eyes out.
You can always trust Herod to get something to get our blood bubbling. More wine. Here.
Bring on the dancing music.
Ah, dancing music.
But who is to dance?
Perhaps some voluptuous women from Egypt?
Look! There she is behind those veils. Who is she? Just one girl?
Ooh, a young one, too. Perhaps 16, 17. She's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
No, it can't be.
Never seen anyone dance like that. She's so nimble. Truly a nymph, a young goddess.
Herod must have paid a pretty price. Who is she, Herod?
She's removing her veils.
It's... Salome, like I thought. Salome!
Daughter of Herodias, granddaughter of King Herod the Great. We're having royalty dance for us. And what a dance!
Dance for us! Dance for us! Salome! Dance for us! Dance for us!
The dance was over. The wild, drunken guests applauded loudly. King Herod was pleased. He motioned for Salome to come to him. She came, out of breath, waiting for a special reward for her performance.
Marvelous dance, Salome. Come, come, sit by me, on my knees. Oh, you have greatly pleased me, Salome. Tell you what, ask me for anything you like.
Anything?
Anything. Even half of my kingdom, and I will give it to you.
Half his kingdom? What do you think she'll ask for? Jewels? Gold? A palace of her own?
What shall it be, my sweet? Jewels? Money? Clothes? A palace?
I must ask my mother first. I'll be right back.
Your mother? Herodias? Why, of course. Hurry back! Oh, you've returned quickly, my sweet. Well, and what did your dear mother tell you? What do you want for your reward?
I want, right now, on a tray, the head of John the Baptist.
What?
Salome, you can't be serious. The head... John the Baptist? It is impossible. You can't mean it. Ask for something else.
But you swore. You swore before all these guests. You gave me your word. And now you'll disappoint me. All these people will say that King Herod does not keep his promises.
The king is horror-stricken, yet his word is pledged. His oath is made in honor of his guests. And if one of them will but offer to release him from his pledge, he will spare John's life. There is only silence. Though aware of John's innocence and shocked at Salome's request, these drunken revelers sit in silence, too drunk to reason. Their silence is a sentence of death pronounced upon the prophet of God to satisfy the revenge of a wicked woman.
King Herod not keep his word? King Herod not... I'll keep my word. I'll keep... Guard! Guard, come here!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Go down to the dungeon. Take the Baptist to the executioner.
He's going to do it.
Your Majesty, did you say...
Bring me what she asked. Here, quickly.
John?
Yes?
You're to come with me.
My time has come, hasn't it?
Herod has ordered it in a drunken fit.
I am to die tonight? Is that it?
Yes, it will do no good to resist.
It is God's will. My work is done. I will not live to see Israel free, but I have seen men freed. I have seen the deliverer. What is death compared to that? All right, I'm coming.
What is taking the guard so long?
Long? It's been only minutes. You're that anxious to see him dead. Look, you've ruined my party. No one drinks, no one eats. They all wait.
Here comes the guard.
Your Majesty, it has been done according to your order. Here is the tray.
Give it to her. Herodias, it is her gift. Go ahead. Take it. Take it. Your gift. See how happy it will make you.
Herod and Herodias were never to find happiness. Herod felt cursed from that moment on for killing a prophet of God. Soon he would be banished to a desolate place, no more to rule. And Herodias, so anxious for revenge, would go with him and die in exile. The disciples of John came and took the body out to the desert. There, where the wind blew free, where the sun shone bright, they buried the man whom Jesus said was more than a prophet.
Peace be on you, John. Mighty man of God. Your blood cries out for vengeance. Someday God will avenge.
When Jesus heard the news about John's death, he was deeply grieved.
Among those born of women, there is none greater than John.
It was not given to John to call fire down from heaven, or to raise the dead, as had the prophet Elijah. His voice was seldom heard except in the wilderness. His was a lonely life, and he was not permitted to see the results of his own labors. Yet, so faithfully did he fulfill his mission that as people recalled what he had taught them of Jesus, they could say, "All things that John spake of this man were true." Such is the witness to Christ that every disciple of his is called to give.